Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Getting the lead out. Into the 5 o'clock hour on a Monday. That's us. Danny Dimes leading my G-men out on the field against the hated Cowboys. You could smell the upset in the air. I don't really mean that. Maybe.
That excitement?
I'm not sold the Giants are that good. I mean, the Dallas is that good. I'm definitely not sold the Giants are that good. But I guess my contempt for the Dallas Cowboys is just leading me down a dark, a dangerous path. Good to have you along. 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk on a Monday is here. A few minutes, we'll chat up Kelly Graves, talk some help. Big weekend. Huge. First of all, they had a nice little montage at the top of the hour on ESPN. Giants, Cowboys, and you know, you saw Aikman and the Playmaker and LT and Eli and all those good ones. And then they threw that NFL film sounder in there where you get Lawrence Taylor in his 80s glory. We got to go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. It's like, no, j'accuse. That was not against the Cowboys. That was against the New York Football Jets in an exhibition game where they had you mic'd up. And that's the one where you told Mickey Shuler when he's like, well, you don't have to do that. Just play, baby. Just play. All right. Now that I called ESPN out for fraud, liars, j'accuse, we can move on with the program. And I can feel a little bit better about myself. Boy, how about that as, he's guilty. He pled guilty. He's a scumbag. He deserves this and 50 times more. But Kellen Winslow Jr., the guilty plea today to rape, sexual battery. And by copping this plea, he actually probably gave himself a chance in a decade and a half to get out of prison. In June, he was found guilty of raping a homeless woman in San Diego. Then there were two others. The jury was not all on the same page with some others, but he got some charges reduced. But, you know, you get the whole song and dance from the attorneys that the sex was consensual. But five women took the stand this summer. And three of them were like, we will testify again. And the defense attorney said he accepts a plea deal and he almost couldn't say it. As strange as that seems, before he entered the plea, he kept looking at his dad, who's the, and a Pro Football Hall of Fame tight end, Kellen Winslow Sr., played for the Chargers. And the attorneys are saying that, he suffers from a traumatic brain injury from playing football. Remember, he also had that horrible motorcycle accident, and they're going to try and put that in to be considered at his appeal. But this is just vile, disgusting stuff. There was another story. So we know from living in a college town that coaches Actually, I don't think people who work for the university are allowed to talk about recruits. So you got Juwan Howard, who's the new coach at Michigan, and he was asked about, you know, he's never been a recruiter, and he's, you know, how's that going with the early signing period coming up? And he said, it's been good. We're still grinding. There's some guys out there who we've offered. And he started mentioning names. Hunter Dickinson, he's one. Moses Moody, the others. And then he went, oh, I don't think I'm supposed to be mentioning that. And there was a Michigan spokesman in the room who's like, no, you should not. So, and he actually used the words, aw, shucks. That's one of the rules I really got to understand and get through this process. And, you know, he's been in the NBA his entire, I mean, he left as a member of the Fab Five in 94 or 5. He's been in the NBA for a quarter century, so he probably was like, and you love the fact that he gives one name, another, then he gives a third, he's like, yeah, probably should pull the plug on this whole operation right now. And I love the fact that you could imagine any time if you've ever been to a press session with a college coach, you have the guys there saying, all right, couple more questions. All right, last question. You can imagine as they're looking at it, it's like, well, that's an NCAA violation. But obviously it's very minor and it's not a matter of it's not like he's trying to hide anything. Caught you. Dude, I just gave three names. Go easy. Take a Valium, knock back a couple of cordials, and we'll all be good. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're going to lock that down. If you'd like to send us a text, always appreciate hearing from you. 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter at 953 the score for El Stagione. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. For me, it is at Sports Talk 953. All right. By the way, I guess I'm just experiencing fall back because I just looked outside. It's like, it's dark. It's 5:09. All right, let's move along. As many are swept up from the weekend in football, and quietly the clock ticks towards the start of college basketball. Our guest makes his 2019-20 season debut on the show off the historic run to the Final Four. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves checks in. Coach, how's life treating you?
Steve, it's going well, buddy. Good to be back with you, man.
Yeah, but looking forward to it. So beyond recruiting and all the fun you have at the Graves household each Halloween, so did you do anything beyond recruiting since the off season, the vacation, that, you know, just pure enjoyment?
Hey, every day I'm alive is pure enjoyment, buddy. We should all be thankful and grateful that we see another day. We've got a place at Black Butte Ranch, and we've really been blessed to enjoy a lot of time up there. I love it. It's one of my most favorite places on earth. And so when we have vacation time, that's usually what we do. But it's been a really relaxing summer, and has been a good fall, and now I'm really excited to amp it up, you know?
Hey, it sounds like a great
rolling starting Saturday.
Yeah, it sounds like a great way to get the batteries recharged. But, I saw on Twitter you were back in your old stomping ground at Spokane in the kennel. I know that game Gonzaga beat Lewis Clark State. But so they've got this walk-on. I think he wears number 35. What could you tell us about him?
Hey, he's the best-looking kid on the team for sure. he is a walk-on up there, and that was really the only game he was going to get a chance to play because I think he's planning on redshirting this year. He's just got to continue to get stronger and a little bit bigger, and so it'll be a good season for him to just kind of focus on himself and his body. But yeah, so he got in. It was their exhibition game, and he was great. You know, he got a foul and he got a turnover, but he took a really good shot, made a couple of nice moves, and it was just awesome and a thrill. And I was really a proud dad, you know, to see my son out there playing Division I basketball. And I forgot how crazy the student section is there. Oh my goodness.
That was awesome. We're talking with Oregon basketball coach Kelly Graves. You know, you and your team have never backed away from expectations. So, you know, the conference media poll, the national polls, you're like a strong number one. But how do you, your staff, and players handle that? Because it's pretty heady stuff.
Well, it is pretty neat. And I told the team, you know, don't shy away from it. Don't poo-poo it. You know, we want to embrace that ranking. I think it's really special. It means we've just built up a lot of credibility and we have a lot of fans and we've earned that. But the reality is we understand that it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. We've got to go out and earn it as we would even if we weren't ranked where we are. But I think it's an honor and it's driven us. I don't think the pressure of being number one or anything will affect this group. You know, Sabrina and I talked about it. I said, Sabrina, well, part of it's because of you. You came back and you said we got unfinished. So whatever bed we've made, we've got to lie in it now. You know, and so, you know, it's been okay. I really enjoyed the team this fall. I think we practiced really hard, and I think we're playing well right now.
You know. You mentioned Saturday, and there's a huge buzz. I mean, the U.S. women's national team is here. Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, to one of the all-time greats in this conference, Nneka Ogumike. So how excited are you and your team to square off in this one?
Well, I think we're really excited, but at the same time, you just rattled off a whole bunch of reasons why we should be a little bit nervous, too. But no, it's a great opportunity, and I heard the interview with Coach Cristobal. By the way, what a great guy, and what an awesome job he's done. I mean, that game on Saturday was incredible, the way they held it together and then just steamrolled the Trojans.
Yep.
But listen, there's no game this Saturday. It's a bye week, so we need everybody. Every Duck fan should be out at Matthew Knight Arena at 4 o'clock on Saturday supporting not just their Ducks, but, you know, Team USA. These are iconic players. These are Hall of Famers. Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Sylvia Fowles, Simone Augustus. I mean, they've won 3 or 4 gold medals. I mean, these are iconic players in our game, not to mention Nneka Ogumike. Kelsey Plum will be back here. She missed their first game, but she'll be back. Chelsea Gray, Skylar Diggins. It's a who's who, and what an opportunity to see us play against the best. And we know that, you know, for it to be even a game, we're going to have to play as well as we possibly can. But that's what challenges are about, and I expect us to rise to that challenge and play a good basketball game.
It's going to be a special night. I can't wait. You know, I saw you posted a video on Twitter today. You've referred to Satu Sabali as a unicorn. I mean, that size, that skill. So apparently she went to work in the off season. So what could you tell us about what she's added to the arsenal to keep opponents awake at night?
Well, I think every great player has to add to their game. They can't just, you know, try to get a little bit better at everything. And I think one thing, you know, she's a heck of a three-point shooter and has developed into a nice off-the-bounce kind of basketball player. But we're rolling her down into the post a little bit, and she's done a nice job of embracing that role, and it just gives her a different way to score. Remember Michael Jordan late in his career would kind of go down and post people up?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what you know to give you more facets to your game, and she's done it quite well. You know, she's still a work in progress there. It's not natural for her, but she is 6'4", and most nights has a height advantage at her position. So, you know, if we can utilize that to our, you know, to a strength of ours, then we will. But yeah, she looks pretty good at it. Do I ever get tweet of the day, though? I know you put that out there every day.
Well,
do I have to come up with something controversial or some kind of a opine on something to to win that?
I don't know. But I usually leave that to Nick, so he's giving me a look now. He's jotting down notes. So maybe we'll come up with the proper parameters and you can make a run at that. You've made a final four. You need another feather in your cap.
I'm working on it. My goal the next 2 weeks is to at least have a tweet in the running. Something that's a little edgy, you know, a little opinionated, and maybe a little creative. I want to get that. That'd be a nice goal.
All right. Like I was going to say, all you've accomplished in your life, this seems like a blatant hole in your resume.
It does. Hey, everybody's driven by something different.
That's awesome.
Who knows?
Couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. You know, I'm looking forward to watching Taylor Chavez. You pointed it out first when we talked last year. Then when I spoke with Sabrina, she talked about she's tenacious, she's competitive, which coming from Sabrina, it's like the kettle and the teapot. But what could you tell us about Taylor's game and, you know, her likely role this season?
Well, right now she is really stroking it, Steve. I mean, she might be our best shooter right now. Just had a great fall. You know, defensively, she's making things happen. We're going to be a better defensive team this year, and part of it's Mignon Moore has kind of changed that attitude for us. But I think Taylor has really upped her level of intensity at the defensive end. That's really helped us. But, you know, she's got a great little floater game. She's only 5'8". And so when she gets in there with those tall trees, you know, it's hard for her to finish. So she's developed a kind of a little one-footed floater. And I'm telling you what, it's almost automatic. She gets inside that free throw line and puts that up. But, no, I just think she's just all around has had a great fall. And I think right now, you know, she's going to be probably that first guard off the bench that we can come in at, you know, any one number of, one, two, or three positions. So I like what I see so far, and she is. She's a really competitive kid. They go toe-to-toe some days, and it's not always pretty.
By the way, obviously, we all know Maite Cazorla is now a member of the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA, an important player for the program, you know, a leader who's just steely in critical moments. You think of that dagger three against Mississippi State, and you just mentioned Mignon Moore, the USC transfer. How has she fit in with, you know, all the skill set and all she excels at?
You know, I think it took her a few weeks to kind of get into the flow a little bit. But, boy, the last week and a half to 2 weeks, I think she's been incredible. She's given us a different dynamic that we don't have. Somebody can play downhill. I mean, and she is so quick to the basket. And she's a really good passer. You know, she's the fifth leading returning assist player in the nation at 5.9 assists a game. Sab's second. So those are two really elite passers that we have. And she's starting to feel a lot more comfortable. And we have found some areas where we can set her up better to play to her strengths. So I like what I see. I think it's only going to get better. I think she's a gamer, man. She came out in that green and yellow scrimmage the other night, played super well. So I think she's one of those that will play in games even better than she practices. But make no mistake about it, she's helped us defensively. And she puts a lot of pressure on the ball, and she's going to be able to neutralize most nights, you know, the point guard on the other teams. And look at our nearest competitors in our conference. They all have elite point guards.
Yep.
Destiny Slocum up at Oregon State, Kiana Williams at Stanford, and Japrice Dean at UCLA. Those are all league point guards. And when someone like Mignon can kind of neutralize them, that's a bonus for us.
One final thought. I know a week from today, Northeastern is in. You got the early start. Obviously, you'll be busy when we're on the air. And, you know, Northeastern out of Boston, Colonial Athletic is a solid hoops conference. So I don't know how much you've studied the Huskies already, but how's everybody feeling about getting this season started for real now, unbelievably, in a week?
Oh, I'm sure our team is so excited to finally get this rolling, because there's nothing like four straight weeks of practice to actually just, you know, kill yourself. But I think we're really excited. They'll be a good team. They were an NIT team last year. We'll be challenged, no question. Satu won't be with us. She'll head back to Germany and help them qualify for the European Championships. But it's going to be a great night. And how about Monday? Why don't you just do a live remote from Matthew Knight Arena up on the concourse?
While the game's going on? Why not? I was going to say, while the game's going on, I don't know how that exactly works out with you on one station playing on the floor and me trying to concentrate and not watching you guys.
Well, but you'll be out in the concourse.
All right, well.
I guess. I got you. I hear you.
Like I said, Coach, we're just getting started. It's November 4th.
I'm just trying to help, buddy. I'm about solutions, not problems.
Well, the bottom line is hopefully you and I are going to be talking week to week until somebody leaves for New Orleans. So let's leave it at that. He's Coach Graves. On Twitter, it's @GoDucksKG. Always great talking with you, Kelly. Really appreciate your time and looking forward to another amazing season.
My pleasure, Steve. Enjoyed it.
All right, take it easy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. He's got us in the concourse on Monday.
I'm loving that. I'm also the only other person who's petitioned me to win a tweet of the day has been Nick Cody.
Cody.
And so now I've got Nick Cody and Coach Graves both saying that they want to win tweet of the day all the time. This is tough. Now I'm going to be critiquing and grading all the coaches' tweets. Like, sometimes a good one just happens, and it's just that's the winner. And now I've got to, you know, analyze and read. Pressure's on me.
The heat is totally on you.
Oh, because if I don't do it, I look like a big old jerk, and I'm definitely not that. Oh,
well,
it's rough.
That remains to be seen. Anyway, I want to remind you that we're going to be putting out our KUJZ Fall Craft Brew Card. And ironically, it'll go on sale a week from today. And it's a terrific deal for just, today's the 4th. What am I talking about? Yeah, all I've been saying all day is it's the first Monday in November. The sale's on now. For $75, you can get 20 craft brews on draft, 10 appetizers. It's worth almost $200. We've got 10 local breweries and tasting rooms chipping in. And it's the Regional Craft Brew Card Passport. It's back today. Go to our station, 953thescore.com, and Thanksgiving, you going to somebody's house, Christmas gift, sounds pretty cool, somebody having a birthday. So again, KUJZ Craft Brew Card, $191 value for just $75. It's on sale now. Go to our website, 953thescore.com. All right, no breaks for the weary. By the way, Giants kicked a field goal. Did I see an interception that stalled by Prescott got picked? Urgh. All right. Let's take a phone call to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Steve. Great interview. Boy, they're going to be a great team this year.
Sure are.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say that as a New York football fan, one thing we have to look forward to in April is we're both our teams, well, you're not a Jet fan anymore, but both the New York teams will be picking within the first hour of the draft for their first round pick.
Well, after that brilliant performance yesterday, the Jets might be second behind Cincinnati, depending on how the Dolphins and Bengals do when they play the next to last game of the season.
Right. And the Giants might get their third win next week when they play the Jets.
God, what an embarrassment. Why couldn't they have just made that week one and just get it over with?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, man.
Take it easy, Jack. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with, I was going to say, the tweet of the day. I'm prematurely wanting to get us out of here. Either way, we'll be back with an update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
the ideal situation for the Pac-12 is to have Utah, a one loss, and Oregon, one loss, playing each other in the conference championship. But the other thing to watch, guys, on Tuesday is who else is ranked in the Pac-12. If you don't find any other teams in there, then it's possible the only ranked opponent Utah or Oregon has to claim at the end of the day as a Pac-12 champ would be each other.
Heather Dinich of ESPN talking about Utah or Oregon and the possibility of getting in. Like I said, the path to the playoff for Oregon and Utah is easy to define, difficult to achieve. So we should have t-shirts made. Path to the playoff, difficult to achieve, easy to define. Film at 11.
That sounds like a thing that like a coach would have like plastered out and put on a wall around like a program, just like the path to success, easy to read out, tough to achieve.
Yeah,
like that sounds
that's
like
a good one.
It should be on a banner. Like that's a thing that players, as they're coming out of the locker room, they slap that on the wall and they realize, yeah, this is going to be a hard day's work. We're ready to grind, leave our blood on the floor.
You know, they could do something that happened in Major League. So it would take something that they would never do because you're kind of rooting against other teams. But, like, fine, you know, they had the owner in Major League and they had all the things they needed to do. And eventually the woman had no clothes on and they won the pennant. So it'd be like, Utah has to win this game and Oregon has to win this game. Then they got those six wins between them. And then you have to have Baylor losing. And then you have to have Clemson winning out. And then the Ohio State, Penn State, Minnesota. You know, that happens.
It's funny every time you include Minnesota.
I know, isn't it?
Like they're going to be a challenge.
But you can't, until they're out, they're in. Well, I'll tell you what, unlike, so actually.
You surround yourself with turds? You're headed towards Turdville.
The funny thing is, what did we say the other day? There are 130 FBS teams. You got LSU, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Minnesota, Baylor, and Penn State. So 1, 2, 3, 4. There are only 7 teams left that control their own fate. Everybody else needs help, whether it's Oregon, whether it's Georgia or Oklahoma or Florida. No, Florida's out now. They're out. Out of the question. So Baylor now is in the top 10. Minnesota. So there are 11 teams with 0 or 1 loss from the Power Fives. I'm not including Cincinnati and some of these other teams or Memphis. What about your Wake Forest Demon Deacons at 7-1, already bowl eligible, mocking you with each victory, with each touchdown march, just poking complete fun. Who was the woman in Major League who played the owner? Rachel Phelps was her name. You know what? I'm not going to waste any time there. It just isn't going to happen. We're moving on. Giants and Cowboys 3-3 midway through the first quarter. Danny Dimes and the Giants with the ball. Nice little kind of fly sweep to one of their receivers. By the way, I'm not usually nuts about the uniforms the Giants wore for most of the 70s when they moved to the Meadowlands originally from Yankee Stadium, 80s and into the 90s. But are these throwback uniforms? Does it say NY or Giants on their helmets?
These are their Color Rush uniforms that they brought back a couple years ago. It does say Giants on the helmet, so it is very.
I haven't seen that in a while.
It's very Lawrence Taylor-y 80s Giants, and it's honestly like these all white unis, and then. Honestly, as much as I hate the Saints Color Rush with they have the gold numbers on them and it's all white and the paint. Oh, there's some those uniforms are great, but I hate the Saints, so I can't like them. Actually,
this has a very 1990 championship team look to it because they had the all whites on when they beat San Francisco on the road. By the way, Lawrence just took off. Danny Dimes is like Danny Nickel. He just lost half his head. Jeez Louise, that was brutal. What's, are you okay?
In my opinion, that sucked.
So
Danny Dimes becomes Danny Nickel? Oh, dude.
Oh. What's that bad?
It's a bad, bad joke.
If you saw what just happened to him, by the way, how the hell is that not pass interference? I think I might end up getting aggravated by this game, which is ridiculous. It's November, the team's got two losses. It's not like they're going anywhere.
Two wins, sorry.
Talk about a Freudian slip. And Dimes got killed again, straight up the middle. By the way, the Giants' left tackle hasn't been good since it was Jumbo Elliott. Good God, y'all. All right, so we got that going for us, which is nice, and they're forced to punt 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Wanted to get to Oregon and USC and just – once they establish themselves, how they just trounce the Trojans at Troy. Wow. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go and bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
You bring that up, and we were talking at the, while watching the game on the TV, that, man, this is going to be a tough game after the first quarter. We were thinking that Oregon was going to have it in them. They were going to have it in them to win. And then, well, they scored 28 points in the second quarter, and the game was over at halftime. But, after the first quarter, what were you thinking about the game?
Their need to protect their quarterback. I don't know if the lack of pressure on the kid Slovis was going to expose the secondary, because those three beast receivers were having a field day and they were wide open. The one thing that was encouraging me early is you could see USC would struggle to run the ball, and did they want their young quarterback throwing the ball 70 times?
Yeah, and they were talking all week last week about air raid offense, and all we needed to do was just get to the quarterback and things would start to happen. Earlier I heard that Oregon still leads the nation in interceptions. What's that gap right now?
Well, they were up one with 14. They added three, so it's 17. So I would imagine they're a couple ahead. I forgot who it was that they were up on last week, but I know from some of the recaps, they expanded their advantage.
Yeah, I would assume so. Three or more interceptions in the game.
It's, yeah, and they're also third in the country in points off turnovers, which is capitalizing and just as key.
Yeah, maybe. Talk to you later, Steve.
Take it easy, Mike. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's one of the dangers in leaning on a true freshman. I mean, you saw even Bo Nix as he rallied against Oregon. He was kind of making up for some of the mistakes he'd made. You saw Jaden Daniels, the outstanding young quarterback for Arizona State. Now, some of the spectacular he put on display has kind of fallen into the mediocre and mistake prone. And Slovis, while he looked incredible, I mean, he ended up throwing 25 incompletions and three interceptions, got sacked three times. So credit Coach Avalos and his defensive brain trust in, obviously playing scoreboard, realizing they could still kind of grind it out and find ways to put pressure on him and force him into miscues. And of course, by the end, it was a mismatch. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Brandon. Brandon, good afternoon. How's it going?
Not bad. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Oh, I'm just curious. So we've been talking a lot about college football playoffs, whatnot. I'm more curious, what do you think your favorite matchup would be for like a bowl game? Like, you think an Oregon Penn State, Oregon Oklahoma?
Oh, if it came down to a playoff or a Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I'm thinking if there's a Rose Bowl and we got Oklahoma, I'm going to be in Pasadena.
Well, if there is a Rose Bowl, remember the Rose Bowl is not part of the playoff this year. So unless one of the, let's say Ohio State got into the playoff, then I guess Oklahoma can be an at-large.
Second Big Ten.
Yeah. Depending on then it becomes just an at-large. They don't have to take a second Big Ten team. So, yeah, Oregon, Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts in this offense might be, I guess, the most fireworks, the most electricity, the most offense you'll see. Or, you know, who knows, if Oregon got into a Rose Bowl, would it be eligible for them to take the second SEC team who didn't get in, LSU or Alabama?
Yeah, yeah. Either way, it'd be a good show.
Yeah. Good one. I haven't heard that. All anybody's talking about is how could they get themselves into the playoff. But if there was a slip up and they ended up winning the North and beating Utah or USC or whoever represents the South and gaining the automatic bid to the Rose Bowl, what happens is conferences have their affiliations, and if the Sugar Bowl loses Bama or LSU to the playoff, then they get to pick X team. I don't know exactly how it goes because I don't have in front of me which bowl games are part of the playoff this year, because it doesn't matter just yet. It's a little early, like I said. It's the first Monday in November. But, as time moves along, that might be somewhat of an interesting discussion. Did somebody call up with some input on that? Because
yeah, Mike called back in, and he jokingly said, well, any other SEC team, if they didn't make the playoff, would probably decline playing in the Rose Bowl because it's west of Jerry's World, and thus it would be a road game. It's a little too far away.
The thing is, Penn State, Oregon, be like, wow, 25 years later, those two teams hooking up. Or how about if Minnesota beats Penn State and then ends up losing to Ohio State? Ducks Minnesota, who played twice in the Sun Bowl in 99 and I think also 2003.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
You're not buying PJ Fleck, are you?
I would want a pre-Rose Bowl Minnesota-Oregon interview with PJ Fleck. I'll start petitioning for that now, because we need to have PJ on to get a couple more PJ-isms out of him, other than you're hanging out with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
By the way, they're unbeaten and ranked 13th. They're behind Florida and Auburn, who have two losses. That's you could say that they might be not getting their proper due.
What's weird is you look at their schedule, and in the non-conference, they won by the skin of their teeth, like just barely holding on to beat all of these teams that you normally schedule as bunnies or to get your team ready, teams that you think, okay, it'll be competitive, but
yeah, it's crazy.
You'll win, and then they get to the Big Ten play, and it's just like, oh, romp, 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 row the boat, romp, 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 and it's like, wow, but their schedule is so backloaded.
Yeah, they beat San Diego State by 7,
City.
Fresno
City.
At... by 3, Georgia Southern by 3, then they won at Purdue, and then they crushed Illinois, crushed Nebraska, by the way, crushed Rutgers, and that's a real feather in your cap, and they just hung 52 on Maryland. But like you said, now they play number 5 next week, Penn State. They have to go to Kinnick Stadium to play Iowa. They also have Wisconsin, who I guess has tumbled a bit.
That's slightly.
All right, let's take our final break. Upon our return, we'll have the tweet of the day. No favorites played here. And we'll wrap up a Monday of Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. I was called out by Kelly Graves during his interview earlier this hour with Steve. You'll be able to hear that later when we post the entire show on Twitter and Facebook. You'll be able to find it on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. You're not going to want to miss it. Coach Graves is looking for a Tweet of the Day title. He's won a couple before, so it's not like it would... It's not, you know, he's looking for his first or anything, but he specifically asked for one this week. So today, I'm going to give... Coach Graves at GoDucksKG, a nominee and in the running for tweet of the day. Because he did, he threw it out there, and you know what? He had some good tweets today. He posted some film footage of practice of the Oregon women's basketball team, your number one ranked Oregon women's basketball team, tweeting out, already one of the nation's elite off-the-bounce players and three-point shooters, at Bali Satu has worked hard to add a strong post-up game as well for at women Oregon WBB. And you watch the film, and you watch Sabali running up and or moving around a whole lot. One, the Ducks are going to move the ball around like crazy, but the post game that she's got in this, you know, just this, you know, 15-second clip here is really good. So, Ducks start their season a week from today.
Yep.
Take on the U.S. Women's National Team.
No, that's
Sunday.
Saturday they take on.
Which is Saturday, right.
No, they play Northeastern. The Huskies, by the way.
Oh, wow. Well, go Ducks. Always against the Huskies, especially in this case. So, Coach Graves, I'll be keeping a close eye on your Twitter account. For the rest of the week, but so today, just a nominee. I'll give you that. At GoDucks Mosley tweeting as well, absolutely bonkers to hear at GoDucks KG staff talking to women's basketball players through a scout that includes names like Sylvia Fowles, Deanna Taurasi, and Asia Wilson. It's insane. You're playing Team USA. It doesn't make sense. But the tweet of the day, they're from yesterday, but Baker Mayfield is a mess. And he shaved three times yesterday during... He shows up to the stadium with a beard. He plays the game with the Fu Manchu, and he ends the press conference looking completely disheveled? He looks tired.
Disheveled? Yeah.
He looks tired and worn out and horrible and just bad and... Oh, so bad. And at EDSBS tweets, been undercover too long, Chief. You gotta let me out. And one that actually is our tweet of the day winner from at Jamel Hill. Baker Mayfield looks like the hard drinking detective with the boss that's always threatening to take away his badge.
I like that one because we were talking about that this weekend. And I was like, what does he look like? And he looks like a con man.
I thought it looked like the worst. It's so bad. People think he looks like Randy Marsh from South Park as well. It's so bad. So thanks to at Jamel Hill for the refreshing tweet of the day. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at 953 The Score. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at Sports Talk 953. Don't be a jerk. Just
JDI. Jerk. You know, I wanted to get into more Oregon USC, but there's still enough to discuss. Tomorrow's a Tuesday. We can talk about it. I meant to ask some of you who saw the Masvidal fight against Diaz, because I thought Dana White was interesting on Rome today in that, sure, in the heat of the moment at a marquee event like that, you don't want the fight to be stopped. But when you looked at it, it was like his eye was like peeled over like a surgical scene from Grey's Anatomy. And then there was another cut there. It was you have to stop that fight.
There was so much blood. So I'm not a big UFC combat sports guy kind of thing. But they had Masvidal on the Lebatard show a lot. And he's from Miami. And they're,
yeah, I've heard him. I actually like both guys.
Oh, yeah. It was a super entertaining fight. Like, I loved all of the stuff, like learning about Masvidal and him as a person and everything. So it got me interested. And I watched, and I'm like, I know UFC's kind of brutal, but man, he landed an elbow on Diaz, and there was just blood everywhere. And I was just like, that's too much blood. Like, it's above his eye. It's really weird. There's a weird shape.
It's his eye.
It's also his eye. But when you're playing for the baddest mother bleeper title in the world.
Yeah, because there was no belt on the line. No true title.
They created a belt to give away, and then the doctor's like, too much blood. He can't see. We're going to end this one. That's where it's kind of like, oh, that's how this is going to end, really? That's how?
But, you've seen fights, both the more traditional and UFC, MMA, whatever moniker you want to hang on it, where something like that happens 35 seconds in. You really feel like you got screwed. But after three rounds, it was like, if you open a cut, that also, according to the referee, it's like you're kind of getting your ass kicked. And I know with Diaz, he's got that reputation of being in the best shape. He's a big cardio guy, and he usually rallies. But it's like, well, you could rally if you don't get your ass kicked for three rounds.
Yeah, it didn't look close. Like Diaz,
I saw the kick, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
Man, there were so many like little moments in that where Masvidal was just like really close to finishing him. I mean, right after he got the elbow on him, and then the entire first round, Diaz was just on his back, like doing like a cycling thing where he's just kind of like kicking his legs and catching his breath and just bleeding on himself. And it was just like there were so many little moments where I think if Masvidal really wanted to put it away, he could have, but he just kind of like wanted to wait it out a little bit because he was going to win that fight if it went to the five rounds. There was nothing Diaz could have done short of a knockout.
Right, that he would have had to put him away. But another interesting thing, first of all, they had Dan Wetzel on of Yahoo, who's just such a good reporter, such a good sports journalist, such a credible guy. And he said he wonders, I don't know what the culture is, but on the West Coast, if it was in L.A. or Vegas, he said they might have allowed the fight to continue. And it's like, well, that's almost a little disturbing because you'd like to think medically it's all under one umbrella. But I'll tell you what, kind of enter at your own risk. There's one thing I've learned over the years about quality fighters. And, you know, these guys, Masvidal has 13 losses, Diaz 12. I mean, there's a reason it wasn't a legitimate welterweight championship fight. But that is Jorge Masvidal's domain. He is a welterweight. And you've seen guys willing, I guess McGregor also has never shied away about going up in class, you know, maybe from lightweight. So I'll tell you what, if after each guy fights again, because I don't know about the immediate rematch, I think and I've never gone out of my way, I think I'd like to watch those guys fight again in the rematch. And how about there was a different fight on Canelo?
Yeah.
And they didn't let that start because it did so poorly in the pay-per-view. They were like, they didn't want to go head-to-head against this one.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. So, yeah, I should have brought this up earlier. I'd really be curious to know for those of you who watch the fight. We can carry this over till tomorrow. It's our show. We could kind of do what we want until they burst in here and be like, yeah, it, air quotes, used to be your show. So, that's a wrap. All I could say is go Giants because I always want to beat those SOB Cowboys. Thanks to Kelly Graves for joining us, getting the season started. Have a great Monday. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.